they are headed out, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. 1 John and chapter 3. We are going to begin a new series today called Seeds of Grace. And I think it will be pretty self-explanatory. But today is all about Appalachia, and I'll explain a little bit more about that in just a few moments. But right now, 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to read just a couple of verses, 16 on down through 18. So if you are able, would you stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? 1 John 3, 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. This is the very word of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for how you teach us through your word, but we pray this morning that it would be more than that. By the work of your Spirit in our hearts, I pray that we would be transformed by this word and that we would be compelled to action because of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, I challenged Grace Chapel to get back to the basics. I gave you five basics of what it means to be the church, to worship, to have community, to serve, to teach, and to evangelize or share, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the next several weeks, we're going to look at the ministries of Grace Chapel and see how these five things come together. Today especially, we're going to look at serving and evangelism in particular, with a little dash of community and some other things thrown in as well. As I said, we're beginning a series called The Seeds of Grace. And the inspiration for this is the parable, which is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but not in John, of the farmer scattering seeds. He scattered it on four different soils, and oftentimes we hear messages or teachings on what those four different soils are like and how we are to respond to that. But I'm going to take us in a little bit different direction when it comes to the seeds of grace. Because when the disciples, after they were told this parable, had time alone with Jesus, they said, What does this mean? How is this parable to be interpreted? And Jesus said, the seeds that are scattered are the word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the proclamation that Jesus is Lord. So for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how Grace Chapel participates in God's mission to the world around us, thus the scattering of seeds, the seeds of grace. When you think about today's passage, the one I just read, it's obvious that one of the ways in which we scatter the seeds of truth and of grace is to love others, and not just to love others with words, but our actions as well. It's one thing to tell someone that you love them. It is another thing completely to sacrifice your time, your wants, your talent, your money, your lives, to sacrifice to show the love of God. It's not that words are irrelevant. Words are good. Oftentimes, to affirm someone or to encourage someone with words, to tell them that you love them, is a very good thing. I'm not diminishing that. What I'm saying, though, is when we show someone through sacrifice that we love them, the message comes through in a powerful way. How is it that we can be better at this, to consistently show one another that we love each other and the world around us that we love? Well, I can tell you, it's not simply by studying love. I mean, we're good at that. We think, well, we need to be a more loving congregation. I know what we'll do. We'll have a Bible study about love, and we'll just dig deep into seeing what God says about love, and we will be the best lovers of people when we're done with that Bible study. And John is saying here, it doesn't really work that way. It's not about trying harder. It's this interesting and mystical mix of surrendering ourselves to the love of God through Christ that he showers on us. And then in turn, going and doing likewise to others. We think, well, wouldn't it be easier if we just went and did likewise and didn't worry about all that surrender stuff, giving our lives to Jesus and experiencing his will? What if we just went and did good stuff for people? Isn't that noble? Isn't that honorable? Isn't that something that we should all get on board with? Well, I can tell you, when we do something like that, when we just go and love someone in our own way, we're creating our own mission with our own ideals and ideas. And we do not have the power of God's Spirit in us. We do not love as he loved us. We love in the way we just think love should be. And every single time that falls short of God's standard. You see, love doesn't begin with us. It doesn't originate with human beings. It originates with God. So if we do anything loving, it's because Christ first loved us. That's an important principle for us to grasp. Some of us just think that if we go with our feeling, if we go with our compassion that we naturally have for other people, that's going to be right and good. But what we have to realize is, where does that come from? The only source of love is in God himself. And as our passage says, there is a unique way in which he shows us his love and a unique way in which he challenges us to show that love to others. So first things first in verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Before we are capable of showing God's love to others, we must first receive God's love. Before we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone else, we must first get the gospel of Jesus Christ in our own lives, to trust him, to receive him and depend upon him. And here's that word again, to surrender our lives to his purpose rather than our own purposes. What is this gospel? There's many different ways in which to describe it and to explain it, but John does it in 8 words in verse 16. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. There's a lot of other ways to look at and describe the gospel, but this is a pretty powerful one. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He did something we could not do for ourselves. He took the penalty that we deserved. You see, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And in Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear what the penalty for sin is. He calls it wages. The wages of sin is death. We all deserve death for the sin that we have. Now, we talk about the fact that I haven't really sinned that much. I had a pretty good week. You know what? I was kind to people and I gave some money away and I don't know if I can really count too many sins that I had this week. Okay, even if you can't count them, you're living with them. Because when we go all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, they decided, you know what? We want to live life a little bit differently than the life that God has for us. So we're going to eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though God said we shouldn't. And that act of disobedience, that turning away from God, created a nature, a curse that is passed down to every single human being on the face of the earth. No matter when they lived, no matter what time period they went through, no matter how good of a person they thought they were or you think you are, you possess a sin nature. And that sin nature has only one remedy, and that is Jesus Christ. So when John says, this is how we know what love is, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, what Jesus Christ accomplishes for us is something that we could not accomplish on our own, and that is being saved, rescued, redeemed from our sin. That is the good news, that is the gospel. When this happens in our lives, when we trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, a great exchange takes place. All of our unrighteousness and sin is put upon Jesus, and all of his righteousness, or rightness with God, is given to us. So we have a new stature, a new standing before God. We are forgiven and set free. Right after this, John says, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And then look at the rest of verse 16. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, let's be clear. We do not lay our lives down for others so that their sin might be forgiven. We don't have that in us. We are not God. We are not Jesus. We do not forgive sins. But the example that Jesus sets for us in his sacrifice, in his service, is what we need to pay attention to here. We are to love in a similar way. When Christ died for us, his love became our love. And it's not a love we're supposed to keep or hang on to or put on a shelf. It's a love that we are intended to share with the world around us. There is in every single believer, listen, if you have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, there is in you this unmistakable desire, this tendency, this impulse to share the love that you have been blessed with others. This is what every believer possesses. Every believer possesses this impulse to die to ourselves so that others might experience the love of Christ that we have experienced. The presence of Christ in any believer means that we naturally now have a changed heart, a heart that has changed from one of stone to flesh, one of selfishness to sacrifice, or from selfishness to service. We have a readiness to be put down so that others might be raised up. Now, this love does not prosper at the expense of others. Love, true love, wants others to prosper at our expense. Sometimes we get that one a little mixed up, don't we? If you have trusted Christ, this is you. This impulse, this desire is in you. Maybe it has been smothered by a world full of worries and troubles and difficulties, lives that are always coming up with problems and struggles. You may have a story where you've been in dark places and you've suffered greatly, but in you is this impulse. No matter how slight and small this impulse might be, if you have trusted Christ, you have the power and the impulse in you to go and to love others. And if that impulse in your life feels as though it's been squashed or smothered or doesn't really exist, again, I invite you not to try harder, not to study on what that means, but to return to the simple gospel of Jesus. He has laid down his life for you. His sacrifice is sufficient. All that you need is found in this one person who is the very Son of God. So, this idea of laying down our lives for others is kind of a vague idea. There's not a lot of specifics to it, but verse 17 helps us out, gets more specific. Is if anyone has material possessions, sees a brother and sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Kind of a litmus test, isn't it? God's saying, okay, there are very practical ways in which you can demonstrate that the love of God is in you. And if those practical ways aren't really coming out, then let's go back and examine whether or not you have truly received and are enjoying the love of God in the first place. He's saying we must make very practical sacrifices. The way to lay down our lives for others is to share the stuff that we have with those who do not have as much. Love doesn't think possessively. It knows quite naturally that everything's God's anyway. So let's work on sharing. We are only managers of our possessions. We don't own them. We're just passing through. God is eternal. And so everything that we have comes from Him. And He has given us the opportunity and the blessing to say, this stuff, all this stuff that's yours, it's really mine, but I'm letting you manage it for a season. And what I really want you to do is to manage it with love and to share it freely. Remember, when we are born again, when we have trusted Christ, His love becomes our love, and His love governs all of our possessions. Verse 18 even gets a little bit more particular. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Words are helpful. Words are useful. Words are actually powerful. But sometimes, as the old country song says, we need a little less talk and a little more action. And this is something that all of us can improve upon. Because we have to be mindful of this reality. It's so much easier to say, hey, you know what? I really care about what's going on with you, and it breaks my heart. You know, I'll be praying for you, and I hope that it gets better. It's a good thing to do. I hope all of us would do that. But if you see someone in need, and then say, you know what? As Jesus so aptly said, hey, be warm and filled. Go on your way, and I'll stick to my comfort because I really can't spare anything right now. We need a little more action. You don't just say you love someone, you show them. You do something that shows that the love of Christ is in you and you have something to share. Now, if you're scratching your head and you're thinking, well, how can I do that in a practical way? I got a great idea for you, a really good idea for you. I want you to know that this passage, 1 John 3, and just 16 through 18, informs a lot of what we do in Appalachian Impact. You see, we recognize that first the love of God changes us, and then we are empowered to be a part of an amazing change in Menifee County, Kentucky. We are made new by Christ, and He compels us to action. He compels us to give of our time and our talent and our money to show that we love, not just to say that we love. Jesus laid down His life for us. We lay down our lives for those folks in Menifee County. They are in need, and we respond as best we can with action. Over the years, we have given countless reports after we have returned from Kentucky. We've told you all about the amazing projects that we've been on. We've told you about the lives that have been changed. We've told you about the kids that have grown up with us, coming to be with them every single summer, as we impart to them not only knowledge that they need to get somewhere close to grade level in their reading and math skills and other skills, but we share our lives with them. We love them in very practical ways, and when we do that, we open the door of opportunity to share the source of our love. I haven't spent too much time either at Project Worth or in the schools, but even just on the construction site, I've had two separate opportunities to share Christ with homeowners. To sit down and talk to them very simply about the reason that we take time out during the summer is because the love of Christ compels us. what kind of love are you talking about? Let me explain it to you. Let me tell you about this Jesus who loves me so much that he died for my sins and can do the same for you. That is a great reward. That is a great opportunity that we have. But it doesn't have to always be that way. The simple fact that we show up every single year is an amazing testimony to the love of Christ, because we are laying down our lives for their sake. So inasmuch as we have explained ourselves to you when we come back from an Appalachian Impact trip, very rarely do you get the opportunity to hear from people in Kentucky. Now's the chance. And Deb, if that video is ready, here's a few folks from Appalachia.
Messengers, calling all the messengers, calling all the messengers. Can you hear me?
Hi, my name is Harper Brandon. I go to Balsa Elementary School, and I went to STEAM camp. And my favorite part at STEAM camp was that I made the marshmallow catapult, and I had a teacher with a really funny voice, and I hope I get to go again next year.
Hi, my name is Ella, and my sister, and my sister is named Lexi.
We like STEAM camp because all of the science and friends that we got to have time with and meeting with friends.
We look forward to going again in the summer and in the future.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
And goodbye.
Hello, my name is Lori Franklin. I'm the Community Education Director for the Menifee County School District in Eastern Kentucky. Tell you a little bit about my county. We're a small county, but we're a beautiful county located between Cave Run Lake and Red River Gorge. We're 58% national forest, so that is an issue. We don't have a lot of economy because of that. We are very blessed with the area, the people, kind people, but we are a very poor county, and our students suffer a great deal from that. Many of our students are raised by grandparents and some by great-grandparents, and so that does cause some issues. We're also struggling with the issues of meth and heroin, as you've heard, I'm sure, on the news. We're trying to defeat that in every way in our kids' lives and show them that there's something greater out there. It's a great thing about this program is that, yes, they do regress some in the summer, and I know people worry about that. Our educational supervisor worries about that, and this program gives them those science and all the great things that you guys do, and that's important. But for me as a social worker, that doesn't even scrape the surface. What I like is I like the fact that they are building relationships with positive adults who care about them and love them and mean something to them, because they talk about these people throughout the year, especially I think the gentleman with the funny voice. They do look forward to seeing them. They believe in them. They believe they're coming back. They believe they love them, and that's huge, because a lot of these kids don't have that relationship. So that's one of the reasons this program is so important. And as a social worker, that's what I see. I see the relationship part and the kindness part. And we are so blessed to have this team who will come down and spend some time with us every year and provide the transportation, which is so needed. Without the transportation, we'd have a handful of kids, because they simply can't get anywhere. And they tend to stay home all summer. And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes it's a bad thing. So we're very grateful. We can't wait to see you again. And if you need anything, please contact us. And maybe someday we'll come up your way. Thank you.
Been forgiven, risen, we living and give them our all. Rise up from your past, it's holding you down. This moment is all that matters, the future is now. How will the people know if we don't tell them? If we fail them, they stumbling in the dark, but the light is what we carry, yeah. Don't have to wonder your purpose or what you here for. Reflect his image and show the world what he cares for. And I know it's all right, 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 you know. And you know, it's your lie, lie, lie. And we know, the time's running out. Can't wait around, cause
my name is Teresa Nolan. I started with EPC in
1999 as a cook. And then have been working every year since. I found a love like no other, meeting all these people from all these places who just came into my community and just done things unconditionally for people, just so they could talk to them about God and love and just being of service to other people. The beautiful building you see behind me, even though it's got junky bikes in front, was built for me by Grace Chapel. I needed it more than anything just to keep my wood, which I heat with, dry through the winter. But there's just so much more. The friendships, the kinship, the love, that's what means the most to me. I take the applications each year for families who are just looking for hope, who just need someone to be there as a beacon to show them that no matter what they're going through, there's always hope that you can get the help you need when you need it. My community is very poor. Our unemployment rate is one of the lowest in the state. I have formed friendships that I would have never had. God sent people into my life that I never would have met under any other circumstances. To me, that's the valuable thing. I've been through divorce, loss of a father, loss of a grandchild, happy things like a new home. Just countless ups and downs that life gives us all. But through all that, I've had 50 people that I met through EPC from all over the United States that I can just say, hey, pray for me today. It's rough today. Or I'm so happy. I have 3 new grandchildren. Someone to share the ups and downs in life, that connection that lets us know God always places people in our lives to be there when we need them the most. That's what it means the most to me. As I drive through my little community, I see all the work that's been done over the years. Hundreds and hundreds of lives that have been improved just by your presence. Backpack programs for kids so they can walk into school on the first day feeling just like all the other kids, that their supplies are there and that their needs have been met and that they can excel and become who they need to be. Also, older people who have no one to turn to have wheelchair ramps, decks, roofs, things that they would just have to do without that. To me, Appalachian Impact has been a huge impact. The name is correct. Lives, hearts, souls have been saved by these mission trips. I can't imagine my life without so many of the people that I've met. We are forever grateful and thankful for all you do. Thank you. Love you all, and may God bless and keep you. Amen. You won't let go.
No matter what I do. Come.
There are so many needs in this world, so many places where we could lay down our lives and thus fulfill this law of love that God has put before us. Why Appalachian Impact? I don't know. But over a decade ago, somehow, God said, Grace Chapel, this is going to be a ministry that I'm going to put you in charge of. It's very interesting because the EPC, you heard Teresa mention the EPC, used to have this as one of their national mission trips. And about 10 years ago, the EPC said, we're not going to sponsor it anymore. We need churches to pick up the mantle and be leaders. God laid it on our heart, and we said, yeah, we'll be one of those leaders. So for the last 10 years, this is what we've done. We have laid down our lives for the folks in Menifee County, Kentucky. And I want to continue this relationship because it is a blessing not only to them, but to us as well. One of the great myths of short-term mission trips is this, that we go and work to improve the lives of those people that we go to Kentucky to serve. It's true. We hope that their lives are changed. We hope that there's a difference that's being made because of our presence. But I want you to know as well that the missionary experiences significant change as well. I do hope that you prayerfully consider joining us this summer. I can guarantee two things. First, you will make a difference. And second, God will do something in you that could not happen in Farmington Hills, Michigan. It's just the way he works. I wish I could explain it, but I can't. So my prayer is that everyone in this room will be engaged in Appalachian Impact in one way or another. Maybe it's not your year to go, but it's definitely your year to commit to praying for us consistently. Perhaps it's your year to give sacrificially so that we can go. But maybe, just maybe, this is the year where you step out of your comfort zone and you allow God to do a work in you that he's never done before. All of these things that we do in Kentucky, these areas of expertise that we have, whether it's math or science or robotics or cooking or just having fun or rebuilding someone's home, all of those are doorways into people's lives. And it is such a privilege to be let in so that we can lay down our lives for them. Will you pray with me? Father, as we prepare our hearts and our minds for your table, may we be reminded of the sacrifice that you made for us, the way in which you laid down your life so that we would have life. I thank you, Father, for the way in which you uniquely call us and equip us and work in us, giving us different talents, giving us different ideas, giving us different ways in which we can share your love and your gospel with others. Oh, Father, I pray that this summer we would once again have the opportunity to shower the people of Menifee County with your love. That we would have the opportunity to share the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether through our words or our actions, and that lives would be changed. All of this is possible only because you first love us.